You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go on and walk away. Cause I'm gonna burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me. That would be Denzel Washington from Training Day, and I apologize for screaming so loud, sir. Just wanted to put the emphasis that he does nowhere near as well acted as he would. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
This is Go Watch a Movie, episode 14, and it's kind of a unintentional Denzel Washington themed. Or was it intentional? I don't know.
It wasn't intentional. It just kind of happened.
Just happened. Today we'll be touching on two films, The Magnificent Seven and Fences. Let's see here. But first, as usual, we're going to start with a little bit of entertainment news. So now I think this has already been debunked, but there's still word being tossed in the air about it. Deadpool appearing in Logan. Now, after watching that trailer, he doesn't fit at all.
No, he doesn't fit in that. That's pretty depressing.
I could see maybe Wolverine appearing in his movie, or because he had that very short cameo in First Class, the first reboot of, well, reimagining of X-Men, however you want to do it. So I can see Logan probably being in his. And I heard rumors of them doing a buddy movie, but people, I think, want Cable and Deadpool more than they want Wolverine and Deadpool.
Yeah, I would go Cable and Deadpool.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. And they have been goofing each other. Of course, Ryan Reynolds, every chance he gets, bashes Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. Even did the mask. And well, Hugh Jackman did a little, I guess, 15-second video on Instagram spoofing Ryan Reynolds, saying how bad Deadpool was and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Wearing a Deadpool, a Ryan Reynolds mask. So I thought that was funny. Let's see here. Gremlins 3. Gremlins 3 is happening. And for whatever reason, even with the title Gremlins 3, the writer felt the need to say, this is not a reboot. This is a continuation. But it's like, well, it's Gremlins 3, so I would imagine.
Well, yeah, it's 3. Now, are you going to have the same actors from 1 and 2?
You know, I don't know. All he said was the script has been accepted and they're pushing around. I personally love the Gremlins movie, and unlike most people, the second is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
You said same there?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Because the first one took itself kind of seriously and thought it was a real horror, you know? But the second one has so many amazing, great moments. I think a Gremlins episode is in there.
Yeah. I would definitely do a Gremlins episode.
But yeah, so I'm excited for that because I watch just about anything Gremlins, even because they're not so serious as like, oh, I don't want to see that franchise ruined. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm actually kind of excited to see what they would do next.
Favorite Gremlin from the second one?
Favorite Gremlin from the second one. Oh. I got to say the chick.
Really?
I think chick? She
okay.
She cracked me up.
I like the one that can actually talk.
Let's chat a bit about you and me. Yeah.
I did like the way the bat one looked. Mm-hmm. He looked like a gargoyle basically, but yeah, the one that talked, that was my favorite one.
I think my overall favorite gremlin is the one with the crazy eyes. He's just insane. Yeah. So yeah, Gremlins is exciting. And the last bit of entertainment news I have to touch on because out of respect and because it's everywhere. Right. Carrie Fisher passing away.
Yep.
Princess Leia has left us. More than Princess Leia, she had some great, great roles. Great actress. But don't we all? And then her mother dying right after her, which is insane. I guess not diminishing her death at all or downing her death at all. I did read that she finished all of her episode 8 filming. So she will be appearing in that, unless they decide to pull it out of respect, which I really doubt they would do. Yeah, I don't think they will. It'd
be kind of more disrespectful to pull it.
Yeah, you're right. She's better. But sorry to end that movie news on a somber note, but it gets darker later on in the episode, guys. Fences. that brings us to Magnificent Seven.
Did you watch the original?
I have not seen the original.
Me neither. So.
I am a big Western fan, and I probably should have. I owe that to my father. He used to play The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Right on.
Every night before bed, I would be in my room and hear, and I'm like, oh, what is he watching? And then he finally sat down and watched it with me, and I loved it.
It's a great movie.
Great movie. And then I just started watching every Western I can get my hands on. You heard us both fanboy out about The Quick and the Dead a couple weeks ago. Tombstone, just, you know, Two Words for Sister Sarah. Just great movie. Gotta tell you, and I'm not afraid to say this because I will challenge anyone who wants to come at me. John Wayne. Hate him. Can't stand him.
I'm not a John Wayne fan either. I appreciate people loving the dude.
Yeah.
I do, but I just don't.
Well, come on over here and tell me about it, Robert.
An impression of the Duke is great. I love an impression of the Duke.
Because I'm a robot and I act like this.
But the actual movies, like, I've sat and watched some of his movies. He's like always the same character.
Always.
Like there's no, different. He's just always the same character.
And everyone else is like putting on a show, becoming an actual Western guy, and he's, hey, partner, and it's like, no, man, do something. You know?
I'm sorry to say that, because I know there's so many John Wayne fans.
And he's a Western legend. He, like, helped keep the thing alive, you know?
He ruins it.
Same here.
For me, I'm going to go ahead and say it. For me, a Western legend is Clint Eastwood.
I agree.
Even though he went kind of batty when he was talking to the empty chair. But for me, Clint Eastwood is my Western hero.
We should make shirts. Remember how the Twilight thing happened? Team Edward and Team Eastwood and Team
Team John. Just a cheer on, put your cheer on the shirt.
Let's do it. Go watch the movie. Team Eastwood. Bring it all your other podcasts. But back to Magnificent Seven. This is a remake, as Robert pointed out. Directed by Antoine Fuqua. Starring Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, Peter Sarsgaard, and a few other people I guess I'm kind of skipping on their names here, but those are the big boys, as they would say.
I was just really excited because Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke reunited after Training Day, and I love me some Training Day. So
and they even were buddies in this one. Mm-hmm, yeah. So now this is a kind of modern take on a Western, but it still has all the Western hits, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I guess first we should start with Robert. What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was a really great movie. I don't think it was like epic. Mm-hmm. Is what I was expecting, because it's such a famous movie, Magnificent Seven. Everybody loves that. Who was aware of it before this remake? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to come in and watch this remake and just be just as blown away.
Yeah,
but it was a good movie, but I just don't think it was epic.
Gotcha. I feel the same way, honestly. I enjoyed it a great deal. I'm always looking for a modern day Western to keep them alive and going, mm-hmm. because Westerns are not dead, despite what everyone thinks.
Yeah, I still love them.
Did you see Hateful Eight?
Yes, absolutely.
What did you think of that?
I loved it, but there were some moments in that I just can't believe he put them in there.
Cringeworthy.
Like when Samuel was telling his story. Yeah. He's just like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that movie. That was a really good movie.
But yeah, so this one, in good fashion, I think everyone did a great job. Denzel Washington, bringing Denzel Washington. Chris Pratt brought Chris. He's ruthless, which I enjoyed, you know, adding to his comedic wit. Ethan Hawke. He was one of my least favorite characters, mm-hmm. Because at one point, several points, I think, this is like a kitten. And I'm like, what are you doing? I get it. He's tortured. He's tormented. He has these issues, which don't really dive into enough for me with his character. Like, we're supposed to think he's, you know, this tormented dude, but they don't really say why.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe they were leaving that for the imagination. Mm. They wanted to engage the viewer, like, use your imagination why he's so afraid of what and whatnot.
But, and he clearly still had it, because when he's training all those dudes, you know, he guns down that thing with no problem, and mm-hmm. you know. And then we go to Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
Now, this man, first time I saw him, personally, I saw him was in Men in Black, where he played Edgar. Mm-hmm. and he was funny in that too. Sugar, more. You know, I loved it. It was great.
He's come a long way.
But this guy, like, when I've recently, and he's been a lot of stuff. I looked him up, and he's been a lot of stuff that I haven't seen. But he popped up in Daredevil as the Kingpin. And my God, did he help that show. Not that it's a bad show at all, but he helped it big time, like added another 100% greatness to it, you know? But then this character shines even brighter. Like, the introduction of this guy.
That's probably my favorite scene in the movie, which is strange to say.
Right?
Just his introduction. These two guys are bragging about taking him out, mm-hmm. and he just starts. He throws an axe or something at one of them.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're cut off short.
And then, but the part that I love about it is when he's walking up to him.
It's like this lumbering menace.
He's just this weird big guy who just like walks up to him. He's like, you don't see it coming. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is so weird.
And the guy's so afraid, terrified.
And they go Unforgiven on it, because like an Unforgiven, nobody's a good shot until the very end when they get drunk. And he's like trying to shoot the guy, but he shoots up in the air by accident, and the guy just walks right up to him and takes him out. I just love it.
And then he speaks, and his voice is, I won't even attempt it to do it justice, but, like, it's this crazy, like, high-pitched, almost Bane-ish voice.
I've been out in the woods way too long. Yeah. Voice. But it works.
We're going to pray for you. It's a little prayer, but we're going to do, you know, he's great. And the whole time he's killing people, he's doing just that. He's praying, help me, Jesus, process this. And this is cutting men's throats. And ripping them. Yeah. He was a huge, great part of this movie for me. And he was great. And then Billy, I should have gotten the actor's real name. He was just awesome. We meet him, and he's
like, Don Hugh Lee?
Yep. I guess, sure. First time we meet him, he's in a gun exhibition. Mm-hmm. It's not technically a gun fight yet. And does he actually lose? I kind of rewound that part a couple times, because it seems like the guy who's running it is afraid of them. So he's like, and the winner's Billy. And the guy is all that he's fighting is all ticked off.
I think he wins it. He wants the rematch, Devil or Nothing, whatever you call it.
And Billy takes off his gun belt and gets all ready, and the guy shoots his gun to signal go, and a hairpin straight to the gut.
Right.
Kills the guy. Probably the chest, not the gut. But, yeah. And then we're introduced to Billy, who is this amazing ninja-type Western guy. And then we meet Ethan Hawke's character, who we instantly are given. This guy has a reputation. What was his name?
He was Goodnight something.
Goodnight, yeah.
It was Goodnight something something.
Yeah. We meet him, and this guy, he's asking for money because he just won the bet on Billy. And this guy's like, I think you cheated. I don't give money to cheaters. And his friend's like, oh, real sorry, Goodnight. He didn't know. He's drunk, you know. Mm-hmm. So we instantly learn that Ethan Hawke's character has this reputation of being this BA guy, and he gets recruited by Chris Pratt, who is this completely racist magic guy, because he is making fun of Billy, who's Asian, and then later on he makes fun of the Hispanic fella who's in the movie as well.
I don't even really know if he's racist or not. He just really like razzing people for something that could get underneath their And then I guess that makes would sense. Go for it.
Because he didn't do anything like that to Denzel Washington's character, which you would thought was the main one. Yeah,
yeah, he just, I think he just looked for an opening that bothered somebody, and then he found it, he used it.
Did you like his character?
I did. I loved his character.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, because like, you got the normal Chris Pratt wit, but then he added this cutthroat menace like that you don't really get to see from him very often.
There's a little bit of crazy in there.
Mm-hmm. The whole magic trick thing.
I love the ending.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. let's see here. Magnificent Seven. There's a lot. Oh, the villain. Someone I want to touch on.
Okay, go ahead.
A little over the top for me. I thought he was good.
Over the top?
Okay. I rationalize it by... This movie's full of kind of highbrow characters, so he kind of fits in with them. But even still, he seemed to be a little over the top sometimes.
I felt like he didn't give enough.
Okay.
Like, I felt he wasn't enough villain for me. I wanted more villain. I liked the actor that did him. I thought he played him well. I just wanted
Peter Sarsgaard.
More from him. I mean, I didn't think he was evil though.
Because honestly, we see him shoot one person in the beginning, and then he's gone for a very, very long time.
That's pretty much it. There wasn't enough of him for me to really feel like, all these guys need to really band together against this one dude because he's so BA, but he's not because he just kind of was, I wanted more from the villain, but I don't know.
What do you think about the moving ahead? Because there's. Actually, I don't want to skip the siege of the town by the Seven, which I thought was fantastic. We got to see everyone show off their skills, minus Goodnight, Ethan Hawke's character. But everyone else, you know, we got to see Billy show off his knife skills, Chris Pratt show off his gun skills, Denzel Washington show off more of his gun skills because he had already did in the earlier part of the movie. Got to see Vincent D'Onofrio's character. Cut Horn, Jack Horn, I believe his name is, just rip down people and he tackles a horse. So I enjoyed that part thoroughly.
I was going to say about the way Vincent, I hate to ruin stuff, but we already know there's spoilers.
Yeah.
The way Vincent died, I mean, just like the arrows, like he kept coming, you know, he's still getting shot. I hated that evil Indian. I call him an evil Indian. I hated the evil Indian.
You didn't like him?
I didn't like the evil Indian. I was mad at him. Probably because he killed Vincent, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of the Native American fight? I guess we should call him Native
American. I liked the Native American fighter a lot. Yeah. I thought he was really awesome. I like his opening scene.
I like his
introduction to him. I don't know if it was the heart or the liver.
Yeah, whatever.
I think it was the liver. I don't know.
And
whatever
then,
it was.
And then Denzel's line of... Get this man some breakfast. I just had mine.
I'm done. I like this character a lot. I ruined it again. I like that he survived. There's only really one thing I really disliked about the movie, and that was the ending, was how they just rode off into the sunset.
Yeah. Team Minority!
Yeah. Except for the Asian guy.
Except for Billy.
But that's the only thing I didn't like about the movie. Everything else I loved.
I had an issue with Denzel's beef. I love his character, but I didn't really think he needed that revenge plot. Like, cause
why else was he? Would he be there to help that chick and her
money?
Whatever.
I don't know.
He didn't care about money.
Yeah, he's U.S. Marshal. For plot's sake. Because when they mentioned the name, that's why he accepted it, right?
Basically, the reason why.
Yeah. That's all I guess I can get over that. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. like I said, my only beef was the bad guy, and this one that basically, like you said, it was justified. Another great TV show /Western you should watch.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Western?
My favorite Western. I think because of nostalgia and sentimental values, I have to say The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But then, now I'm thinking about it, The Quick and the Dead pops into my head.
Really? Quick and the Dead beats out?
No, I can't.
There's...
Because there's... Yeah.
For me, like, it's not the I love the quick, you know, I love that one. Mm-hmm. I love the good and bad. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. But for me, for some reason, there's just one that just, and I want to say it's Unforgiven, but it's not.
Uh-oh.
Because I love that movie so much.
Yeah, that's a great one.
There's so many good Westerns out there. Mm-hmm. For me, this is probably going to surprise you. It's Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, that's part of the, wait, no. Okay. Yeah. Clint Eastwood, yeah. Okay.
It's a Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. That one, I just, that's for me, if I had to watch one Western, I couldn't watch any other Western.
You watched that one?
I had to watch Outlaw Josie Wales. I don't know why. It's just ingrained in my head that's the Western that I need to watch.
Gotcha.
And it's not over the top. It's not like, it doesn't have the score that like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly has. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the, you know, painstakingly realism that Unforgiven has.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the over the top craziness that Quick and the Dead has. It's just, there's something about it that's just perfect. It's like that perfect in between middle that just does everything right. For me, anyway, as far as the Western goes.
I have to rewatch it.
I just love the Outlaw Josie Wales. That's my favorite Western. Hmm. I just can't get enough of it. If it's on TV, I watch it. If I'm feeling like a Western, I pop in the DVD. I can't help it. Yeah, it's perfect for me.
That's something I actually want to touch on with it. Oh, yeah, with Clint Eastwood movies. The Man with No Name, you know, the series of all those. There's a comic book.
Ooh.
That continues that story, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, have you seen Deadwood?
I have not.
When I talk about TV shows and my top favorite TV shows, this one's up there. I'm not sure where, but it's up there. Deadwood is a Western starring Timothy Olyphant, Ian McShane, and who makes the show? Ian McShane makes the show. But it is a Western television show done by HBO. Kind of the same vein of Sopranos-ish, just set in Western times. They're based on real characters. Timothy Olyphant's character was a real guy. Ian McShane's, I'm not sure. He plays Al Swearengen. Probably, if we included TV people in the villains, he would have been on that list for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a fantastic... went three seasons, kind of went unfinished. I got canceled a little soon, but they're talking about doing a movie for it to finish it up. I recommend it if you like Westerns. It's a great, great Western TV show. Magnificent Seven, anything else to say about that one?
Yeah, watch it.
It's well worth a watch. And Denzel, we didn't talk much about him, but
Denzel,
yeah, I like to see him in a Western. I watched a little interview about it today with him that he did, and he was talking about how he trained for the gun spinning and all that stuff. He's like, yeah, they asked him how long did it take. He's like, well, every day up until the day of filming, which was months, I practiced and practiced and practiced standing next to my horse that I had to get to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said he's just practiced and practiced, which I don't doubt with him because he seems like he puts a lot in his characters, which we will talk about here shortly. That's, ladies and gentlemen, this Magnificent Seven. I think it's a unanimous go watch the movie, go watch it.
Definitely.
That's that one. And that moves us to trailers. Should I go first here?
Go ahead.
Okay. This trailer is something that I've been waiting for a long time. I thought Prometheus would be it, but Prometheus was not it for me. Not that I hated Prometheus, it just wasn't the...
I know what it is.
It wasn't the alien movie that I was looking for.
Oh.
But Alien Covenant.
I watched the trailer.
What did you think of this trailer? I loved it. It's got chest bursters. It's gory, which the other movies never really were.
Gory.
Yeah,
a couple scenes.
like you got the chest burster scene, which was probably some of the goriest moments in Alien movies, but this one looks like it's gonna go places that the other ones did not. Which I am excited for. After, like I said, after Prometheus, which was kind of a letdown, not completely, it kind of filled us in. And one of the main things that ruined that one for me was that he was denying that it was part of the Alien franchise. And it's like, dude, clearly, what are you talking about? But here we are, Alien Covenant. Can't wait for it. What about you, sir?
I had a couple different ones in mind, and I'm going to go ahead and settle with Mindjammers. I don't know if you've seen this trailer.
I have not.
But it just looks super interesting to me. It's sci-fi. It's like people somehow like go and they're in their own, like they basically control people like a puppet. Mm-hmm. So, but it's like, you know, they agree to do this. They go inside their heads. There's like a group of people who are doing this thing. And they go inside of people's heads somehow and they control them. And it just looks super interesting. It looks like a sci-fi movie that I haven't really seen before. And that's what I'm kind of looking for in movies, is stuff that I haven't seen. Yep. A new idea, you know, something like a tackle that hasn't been tackled before. So I'm super excited to see this. If you haven't seen the trailer for it, watch it. It's called Mind Gamers. It might be a flop. I don't know. But it looks pretty interesting to me right now.
Awesome. I cannot wait to see that trailer now. On the same vein, since this is the last episode of 2016, I looked up a couple things. Variety, since this is trailers, put out a most anticipated films of 2017's list. Mm-hmm. There's 40 of them, so I'll quickly fly through these. If you something catches your interest, go ahead and stop me. But number one, I'm not sure why this is on here, but XXX, wow. Return of Xander Cage. Resident Evil, The Final Chapter. The Lego Batman movie. John Wick 2, which I am excited for because I enjoyed the first one. 50 Shades Darker. Logan.
Yep.
Kong Skull Island.
Definitely.
T2 Trainspotting. So it's like a Trainspotting movie.
I want to see it.
Beauty and the Beast.
I'll watch it.
Power Rangers.
I do want to see Power Rangers.
Me too. Ghost in the Shell. The Fate of the Furious, two Vin Diesel entries. The Circle, which looks pretty awesome to me. I'll probably come back to that because there are a couple more of these. Let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Legend of the Sword. Snatched. Alien Covenant. Woo! Baywatch.
What?
You haven't heard about that? The Rock is redoing Baywatch.
Okay.
Him and who's the kid from High School Musical? Zac Efron is in it as well. A couple other highs that are going to be running in slow motion.
When you text me to go watch that one, I'm going to be like, I think I have a cold.
I'll probably watch that one on Netflix or Hulu one day. But yeah, not going to the theaters. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Ooh, yeah.
Can't wait to see that one myself. Wonder Woman, I'm actually excited to see that.
I'm excited to see that.
The Mummy, the
Tom Cruise running. I don't know what I think about that, but go ahead.
Oh, World War Z 2. What? Yeah. So, I'm just by interest of what they're going to do alone, I want to see it. I know how you feel about Pitt.
No, it's not even. This one isn't even about Pitt. This is just about the movie.
Yeah,
like, huh?
What can I do, really? Like,
why?
Yeah. Then there's Pitt. Then there's the Book of Henry, which I believe is based on some books. Transformers: The Last Night.
As much as I love me some Transformers, it's like, can we reboot it already?
Yeah, can we get someone else to do it? Explosions. Despicable Me 3, Spider-Man Homecoming, woohoo.
Yes.
War of the Planet of the Apes.
Definitely.
And I actually wanted to talk to you.
Yes.
I wanted to do a entire, I don't know if it'll be our next themed, but, or spectacular, Planet of the Apes, spectacular.
Yes.
Yeah, just full on, definitely. Tackle them. Bad Dads, which I think is a spinoff of Bad Moms. Dunkirk, which is the new next film by Christopher Nolan. Oh, I hate that I said that. Valoran, The City of a Thousand Planets, which I mentioned earlier. Did you catch that trailer yet?
I did.
The Dark Tower, Aegis Elbert finally getting some credit based on those Stephen King books about the gunslinger.
To watch those trailers, I haven't seen those.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Blade Runner 2049. Yes. Have you seen the teaser?
I have seen the teaser. I'm excited about it because I am a huge fan of Blade Runner.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't know how it's going to translate. I don't know if they made it accurate that they picked to replace, not necessarily replace Harrison Ford.
Gosling?
I don't know if Gosling fits. Like, I feel weird about it. I feel weird about Gosling. I like Gosling, but I feel weird about him.
One of the things I found humorous about this was out comes Harrison Ford in a t-shirt and some sweatpants. But yeah, I'm definitely interested.
I think they're trying to make it look cooler than what it needs to be. I don't know. I'll wait and see. Gotcha. I'll wait and see.
Kingsman, The Golden Circle, the second in the Kingsman Secret Service. Really? Did you see that one?
No.
No? Huh? What? The Kingsman Secret Service?
No, I don't.
Oh! That's next episode. Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. Justice League. Freaking Jesse Eisenberg. Murder on the Orient Express. Star Wars Episode 8. Jumanji. And goodbye, Christopher Robin.
That'd be a good one.
So that I just want to kind of, since we were on the trailer segment, go ahead and reveal some of the most anticipated varieties picks of the most anticipated movies of 2017. Since we're moving into that next year, which brings us to Potter and Family promos.
This week on the Netflix and Swill podcast.
It's 11-11. Make a wish.
I wish I was dead.
I wish I was dead.
You're the lid to my pot.
Oh, man. Blooper episode.
So check out our show on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music.
Hey everybody, tune in this week as we talk about the Annihilators comic book series.
And then Quasar got a crush on this person?
No, she wound up with a crush on him because she joined the team. She just kind of elected herself as part of the team.
She moved in and never moved out.
And the newest installment from Marvel Studios, Doctor Strange.
We're going to open the Eye of Agamotto, put on our capes and...
Well, the cape also wiped my butt. Because that movie looks like it might.
Check out the Geek Yogurt podcast on Podbean on iTunes.
Which brings us to Fences.
Yes.
Let me get all somber and sad.
Some people build fences to keep people out. Other people build fences to keep people in.
A line from Quinces. Fences. Sorry. Fences, directed by Denzel Washington, also starring Denzel Washington, Viola Davis, Jarvin Adopu, I can't really pronounce that, and a few other people. Now, this movie, first of all, I enjoyed it thoroughly, as much as you said, film.
Right.
Because it kind of is a look into a lower class, very lower class African American family in the 50s ish. And their struggles, essentially, is the storyline. Now, the dad, in my opinion, has some issues. Mm-hmm. And I know he comes from a different era. The father, played by Denzel Washington, Troy, I know he has some issues. He's come from a different time. But other than, aside from those, he, I think, also has some issues. Like, that we don't see until towards the end. Like, do you think it's normal to shout and fight with death?
Literally? No, it's not normal, but that's how he coped with that particular facet of his life.
By just fighting on
Well, most of it was just stories.
Yeah, tall tales.
Was tall tales, but even the strangest story, tall tale, has a little bit of truth to it. Mm-hmm. And you saw a scene where he screamed out of his window.
Yep.
He screamed at death, like, you know, come, whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's some truth to it.
It reminded me of Tom Hardy in that movie, the gangster movie with Shia LaBeouf. Mm. Like, how he kind of grew up with his own legend, and he didn't fight with death and said it aloud, but yeah, like, I got that kind of feel. I first off want to say every actor in this movie is great and deserves an Academy Award.
They'll get something.
I hope so.
They'll get nominated for something.
Regardless of the fact that this movie is being neglected, I think, by a lot of moviegoers. I don't know why, but I think they deserve something. But yeah, Viola Davis, amazing. One of the best female actors.
She was great.
Going around.
Everybody was great.
Yeah.
Was there a flaw? When you watch a movie, there's one somebody flaw that jacks up. And you're like, yeah, you're not, you don't fit. You found one? I didn't find one. I thought everybody was like on point the entire movie. I think Kelvin has found somebody that he doesn't think acted correctly.
No. Everyone acted fine. It's just a precedent had been set about doing this. And why does everyone have horribly unpronounceable names? My Cattell Williamson.
Okay.
This guy was also in The Purge election year. He's Bubba in Forrest Gump.
You didn't like him?
No. Now, there was a rule set when Tropic Thunder came out that you never
He didn't go full retard. He never went full retard. He went full, I'm jacked in the head because I got
Because he was plate. Shot in the face?
He got a plate in the head. Yeah. I don't think he went full retard. I didn't feel like he did.
You didn't
I felt like when he was on screen, mm-hmm. I felt uncomfortable for everybody else who was like acting with him.
I did too.
That was the point. Because he was so bad. He was so jacked up, like mentally, whatever, that you were supposed to feel uncomfortable for him.
Now,
for everybody else.
The last time I saw this guy was in Purge election year. Fantastic. He did great in that. He does great all the time. He's a great actor. In Justified, he had a large role in that show as well. He's this menacing, southern gangster leader type of guy. Not gangster, like thug gangster, but mob's gangster. Like, he runs his southern family with an iron fist, that sort of thing. But then you see him in this.
I think he was essential
now
to the movie because, and this is why, this was a heavy movie.
Yes,
it was so super realistic, like it was real to like the absolute realist. Mm-hmm. It was just completely real. He added the little element of
that pulled you out of that.
Pulled you out of that craziness and lets you breathe. Not because he was bad.
No.
But because it was just so ridiculous.
I haven't seen a special person played better since Forrest Gump.
He let you breathe during the movie. And especially at the end.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. So I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it. You might. I don't know. But for me, he played it perfect. He had to play that role exactly the way he played it for that movie to work.
I don't see it being played anywhere else. Like, you can't go lesser of a special person, mentally challenged person, because it wouldn't work. But It's just so, because and for the same reasons, like this movie is so stone cold serious, and then
it just punches you in the gut over and over again. Yes. But then there's this guy, and he's supposed to be there for a reason. I think he's necessary.
I agree,
and I understand your point about his acting, maybe the overacting, and how it kind of distracts from the other parts of the movie. I understand that, but I think it's necessary.
Yeah.
Because it's so serious. The movie is so serious. You need that little bit of junk to jack it up a little bit so you're not just lost in the seriousness.
Is it right to use him as use a mentally challenged person as a comedic
group? I didn't think he was comedic. I never laughed. No, I never laughed. Did you laugh? I never laughed during this entire movie. I did not laugh. There was people behind me
cracking,
just thought it was hilarious. I never laughed during this movie.
Because I thought it was so serious. Some belly giggles.
I found it humorous, but never to the point where I laughed out loud. Mm. And his character being on screen, like I said, it made you feel so.
Thank you, South Park.
Like, just uncomfortable. You're like, holy, this is horror. And everybody's I want you to look at everybody's acting in response to his acting.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was just like, are you, like, I can't make you see my face right now, but I'm trying to do the image of him like making that face. Like, are you serious right now? This is you acting? Like, it's just so many, just everybody. Even like the little girl at the very end of it was like,
Mister, are you okay? Uncle,
like, Uncle, you're like, this is crazy. Like, he was necessary. He had to be there.
I'm not denying that.
And I agree. It was hard to watch, but that's the point.
Yeah.
There's so many movies that there are scenes that are hard to watch, and they're supposed to be hard to watch for a reason. Yeah. And this was one of those things. Like, everything that he was in was supposed to be either hard to watch, or you're supposed to be looking at the people, not him, reacting to him.
Because they cut away from him a lot.
Because you would be just like they were, like, real wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're chasing hellhounds.
Where?
You're selling plums. You don't have any plums in your basket, dude.
You just told me you don't have any plums.
But you're selling them.
And cool. Everyone did have a different
I like ham sandwiches too.
Watermelon with the stripes.
Woo.
But everyone did have a different reaction to him. Denzel Washington's character.
And it built up to the very end. Mm. At the very end, that was perfect. Because you're thinking, this dude is just, you know, he's playing full retard. But then you get to the end, and you're just like, that's how that's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's what he told you, like, at the end of the movie. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
You nailed it, dude. You're full retard, but you're right. Thank you for schooling us.
But Washington's character, you know, kind of had a bit of contempt, and he was a kind of apologetic, and because he knew, I don't want to say used him, and I don't want to give too much away because I think everyone should watch this movie, but he kind of used him in a way, and I think he conveyed that contempt for himself and for who his brother turned out to be.
Absolutely.
Like, perfectly.
You know that he did. He did use his brother.
Yeah,
he did.
It's a great
explain his contempt for himself for using his brother.
Yeah, it's a fantastic scene.
It's
when he admits what he did and why he did it, and the fact that if he hadn't done it, where he would be.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. And then Viola Davis's character is like, "This is your brother, and he is this way, so I'm going to treat him," you know. I want to make him some food because she always seems to want to make him some food.
She was a rock in the whole movie.
Oh, like, I just love her. Can't imagine any person in this day and age
putting up what she put up with.
Yeah,
she was
like, and I said I don't want to spoil this movie, but I'm going to go ahead and say this part. You do not, if you're a cheater, and you are wanting to admit the fact that you're a cheater to your wife, you do not come in and say, I'm going to be a father to your wife of 18 years.
This is where the main character was Denzel Washington.
Yes.
You loved him and you hated him at the same time.
Oh, yeah. You either wanted to choke this man to death or you were laughing at his stories.
At the end, for me, you loved him. I had so much appreciation for that character. And I know it's crazy to say that, but I look past all the horrible things he did. And I remember the very end, the horn being played. And I'm thinking of him going through Heaven's Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the reason for that. It's because he sacrificed so much. He didn't do it for himself. Some of the things he did it for somebody else. That's tough love.
Yep.
He did it for somebody else, and that's harder to do than you think it is.
No, no, trust me. That grind that he's talking about, that I go to work.
He was a garbage man.
He was a garbage man for
back of the truck.
No offense to garbage man. Because
there's nothing wrong with it.
We need it.
No it's more needed. Than in Good Will Hunting. Nothing wrong with being a bricklayer.
Same thing. Yeah, he said, I go to work to put food on this table, to put these clothes on your back. I come home, I give you my money, which he literally gave his wife his money. Yep. He didn't count it. He just
couldn't read.
He couldn't read it.
Do the bills.
Yeah. But, and then he said he pleasured her the best he could, and then he repeated. So I understand that grind, and I understand resenting the world and everyone else, including...
So you understand what...
I'm not saying that.
You don't understand why he cheated?
I think there are other ways. I think there are...
He explained it to her.
Maybe not for him.
And it was more his whole setup. Like, he regretted so much in his life.
Yep.
And he regretted not being a sports star when he knew he was capable.
Mm-hmm.
He regretted so much. And he, like, just amplified that through his entire life. So when he met this other woman and...
Who made him laugh. Made him
who made him feel young again.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. Like he made him feel... young again, where everybody else was making him feel like the old, you know, like take care of me.
Yeah,
he take
had
care
to
of me, guy.
Do this grind. He had to be here. He had to.
I'm not condoning it, but I just understand why he was so. He's not giving that up. He said he told her, like, I'm not giving this up now because like she makes me laugh.
To me. Like to have the manhood to say. To sit in front of your wife of 18 years and say, I'm not giving this up. She makes me laugh. She makes me feel normal. And then your wife standing across from you, bawling her eyes out, snot dripping from every face orifice. just pouring her heart out like, I'm here. I could do these things. If you would just come up to me and hold me a bit closer, you know, talk to me a bit more. I could do these things. Like, wow. Like
hindsight's always 20/20. I don't know.
If you can see his face after he said that. But yeah, I want to say I see both sides, but.
I'm not at all condoning what he did.
Yeah.
I think he should have stayed with Rose. The way I feel like he should have been like faithful to Rose the entire time. He should have just been
found her
and their kids. But it's like in a weird sort of way, I understand why he did what he did. And I don't fault him for it. Despite the fact that I find that behavior disgusting,
yeah.
I don't fault him for it because I understand why, as flawed of a character as he is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not expecting, like, you know, a priest-like, you know, behavior from him. I'm expecting something less.
Develop a hobby, yeah.
And the fact that he was so forthcoming and honest about it. That was like, are you serious? If I were in that situation, I would never be able to do that. I would never go up to somebody and be like, look, you've been my wife for 18 years.
I'm going
to
be a father.
I'm fathering somebody else's, you know. What? No.
Yeah.
That dude had, like, he had balls.
And she was standing next to where all the
his
silver
balls
was.
Had balls. like, literally, his balls had balls.
like the and that I'm glad you pointed that out, as layered as he was, because this dude was extremely multi-layered. I pointed out his bit of insanity, but he also was this dad who gave I won't say tough love, but responsibility to his child in a way that I haven't seen before. Like his child at one point asked him, "Do you like me?" And he's like, "Like you?" But what law says that I have to like you? I don't gotta like you. I'm putting food on your table, putting clothes on you, and like I think a kid now would just go in his room and commit suicide if a father talked to him that way.
Mm-hmm.
But from the time where this guy came from and what he told us that he went through, like the last time he saw his dad was he got the crap beat out of him by him and left on the side of a lake after his dad tried to steal his girlfriend while they were...
That was 13.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So, and then he had to walk 200 miles to the next town, to, you know. And then he went through this whole dramatic... Like, so he was raised differently, saw different things. You get all these different parts, and then at first I was like, my and I'm gonna, this brings me to the point, like my only, the one and only minuscule thing, like this movie came from a play, and there are some points in it to act it like it's a play. Like, I don't know if you noticed that, but and it's not horrible. It doesn't take you out of it all because they're all still doing a stellar job, but. Yeah, that's my only thing that kind of disconnects me a little bit. But even then, like, you see this guy, and like Robert said, he can make you laugh with his insane stories. He can make you hate him and want to just beat him to death. Kind of make you feel sorry for him at some points. Make you respect him at others. You know, make you want to see him succeed. Make you want to see him fail. And it's just, yeah. Did you think, like, when she took the baby inside, what went through your head?
Like, I pretty much saw what the movie gave me.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to help him. She's clearly devoted to this dude for whatever reason. Who knows why. Nowadays, it wouldn't happen.
No.
Back then, yeah, she'll probably stick with the guy. She's gonna care for that kid. But I loved how she said at the end, she's like, you got a mother for your baby, but you don't have a woman anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That was brilliant.
So for the next 6 years, I think it was six years that spent, that mm-hmm. she just didn't.
But who knows what happened to her? You don't see what happens.
Yeah.
But the fact that she said that then, was so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
We done. I just love that part of the movie. You don't have a woman anymore. And he just, like, stood there, like...
Ugh. He gets a shocked face at first, and then...
Like, what else could he have expected, though?
Yeah. You bring your mistress's baby into your house.
Baby was innocent, so...
Yeah.
She took care of the baby, but, like, he was not, so you don't have a woman anymore.
And you say this... Like, the mother of this baby dies, his mistress dies, and the baby lives. And he walks into the house, and he's like... This baby doesn't have a mom anymore, and Viola Davis is just like, "Why are you telling me this, Troy?" Yeah, like what? Like
you it just showed that she's the better person in the movie. Like throughout the entire movie, you see she's the better person.
Mm-hmm.
She rises above all the crap and just like does what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a son who's like. Trying to mimic what the mom is doing, like you don't matter anymore. You don't count around here anymore. And then the dude had to check him.
Yep.
Which I love that he had to check him.
He checked the heck out of him.
Like bat to the throat on the ground.
Let him know that you are not a man yet. You don't understand what's going on. This movie deserves to be seen. You guys should check it out, in my opinion. Go watch it right now. Because everyone does a amazing job. Every single person. There's three kids this guy has. Two of them estranged, you know. It's like, and each of these children are hugely different personalities that the daughter we get to see briefly, but he has an older son who is this musician who just wants to be free and live his life as a musician, who always comes on payday to take money from his dad. You have this kind of middle son who's, I don't know if normal is the right word, but compared to everyone else, he seems like to be this level-headed, normal guy who is offered a football scholarship and is trying his hardest to succeed. I don't know if I agree with the fact that he was trying to be his dad. I think he was more trying to distance himself from that in any way he could. But
it was strange how he was trying to distance himself from that, yet was following the same path.
True. The sports,
which is what she mentioned, the mother mentioned at the end. You're so much like him, but you don't realize it. They like moms realize stuff about you. You don't realize even yourself. She's like, yeah, you're doing the same thing he did, but you just don't realize it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I kind of point out these obvious things.
I just don't ever see him like, and I'm just musing now. Like, he gets kids. I don't see him treating his kids that way. You know,
you probably wouldn't.
Yeah, but I mean, I could see how he was,
which is probably the point.
Yeah, like, I'm going through this, so you don't have to.
Yeah, his dad treated him the way he did to make him the person that he's going to be, so he doesn't treat his kids that way.
Yeah, this is a it's all legacy type of deal. But yeah, Robert, you recommend this movie?
Absolutely. This, I mean, I hate to say it. This might be the best movie I've seen this year. There's one.
Let's go ahead and get there.
There's one or two others that might come close.
That was a question. We reviewed,
but this might be the best movie I've seen this year. This floored me. This was real.
Yeah, like, it was
acting,
very real.
The acting was real. It was flawless. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't find a flaw, and you found a flaw. With the full retard thing, but I
didn't
bother me. Like, I did not find a flaw in this movie.
Mm.
The ending was perfect for me.
Yep,
I loved how they did it. It kind of brought some lightness to it. You're like, wow, like this guy who was mentally whatever called it, and he just went with it. I mean, the lessons that they tried to teach you throughout the movie were spot on. I've had similar situations in my life where, like, you know, I don't want to get into my parents or whatever, but like, still, it's like, this movie was probably the best of 2016, and I hate to say that because there's so many other good ones that I love for different reasons, but because this one probably strikes a little more personal for me than others, this is probably it. This is a must-see movie. For me, it's a must-see movie. If you're like some rich dude living in Florida,
I've never had the experience of anything close to this. Don't
give two craps about anything other than yourself, then yeah, it's probably for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for other people, yeah. Real people, definitely watch this movie. It's not a movie about black folks. It's a movie about Americans. It's about real people.
Yeah.
It's about something that you should want to be a part of
and
you know, experience.
Trying to better everything about your life, even if you don't experience it, your children will.
It's about sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's, I say that all the time to myself, not to other people, to myself. Like, if we would just sacrifice a little bit of ourselves, the future would be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do that because we're self, you know, people. And I'm one of them. I'm selfish. I don't care. But if everybody would just sacrifice a little, the future would be so much better. And this movie is just all about that for me. So I just loved it. I think it's great.
Yeah, and it's, as you pointed out, it is scary the way some of these things that this movie goes over hits home. Because I, like you, have had issues, some of these issues. But yeah. Fences, guys. Go see it, enjoy it, soak it up. It is a tough one, I'll give you that. I tried to kind of make a little light of it, but there are, yeah, it is very serious stuff. But so moving forward a little bit, not taking anything away from Fences because it was great, but we're good with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was a question I posted you a couple of weeks ago, maybe three. Your favorite movie of 2016. Has this taken it for you?
Well, I want to say yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's fresh in my head.
Yeah.
Captain Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was actually officially a 2016 or if it was a 2015. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that movie for me also, it's way up there, but for probably different reasons. And I don't know if this one trumps that or not, but because of how fresh this one is in my head, I would say that Fences wins.
Fences win for you?
But yeah, second, close second, if not an absolute rival to the first, then Captain Fantastic wins.
Which I think, I'm going to go Dr. Phil on here on you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It says a little bit about you, Robert.
Whoa.
Both, like, very close-knit family
movies. Uh-huh.
But that's all I'm going to go into that, because I don't want to...
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's really what I have.
I understand where you're going with it, you know? And I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
You are right, what you're implying.
Mine, and... compared to the two you just mentioned, this might get laughed at, but I will give my reasons first. I think everyone, well, not everyone. There are some people who are just have their heads screwed on perfect, but the normal man has always, or at least had one moment in their life to where they felt like they were stranded on an island and alone and had no hope and were just looking for that one little light to help them. They thought no one loved them. They thought no one cared. And they prayed for a miracle to wash up on the shore.
Oh, goodness.
And for me,
yes,
Swiss Army Man was my favorite film of the year. And like, I may be looking deeper into this movie than what it is.
No, you're not.
But that's what it represented for me. Like, because this whole time, the whole time in that movie, this guy seemingly was on a desert island, trapped. I should say the beginning of this movie. You know, thought he was going to die, thought he was alone, thought he had no hope. And then this corpse who, up until the ending, I was like, okay, this is all going on in his head. Which is, I don't know. But still, like, he had this adventure of a lifetime. And through this adventure, found out that he was worth something, that he was interesting, that he could do things on his own and experience new things and have fun. And he wasn't worthless because he built all these things. He did all these amazing stuff. So yeah, this movie, that movie for me, just stood out among all the rest, and shined for me, I guess.
No, I can't complain at all by that choice. That's definitely in my top five. This year, so I completely understand that choice.
But yeah, those are our picks, guys. I put it out there on Twitter. We still have a couple more days left. If you guys want to tweet us, I would love to talk about them next episode. So some 2016 best picks for you guys. But yeah, that was Fences. That was the Washington themed episode. I'm going to move on to suggestions.
Oh, I have one thing before that.
Okay.
What's your favorite Denzel Washington movie?
Ooh. Oodalali.
You didn't see that one
coming. I didn't. I'm used to throwing out the blind signs.
I learned.
When I was a kid, it was...
I'm still a kid.
It was, I like to think I am. Oh, wow. And I just blanked on it. The one with him and Russell Crowe, where he goes inside the machine. Russell Crowe's a program, Denzel Washington is a cop, and he goes inside the machine, and he... Russell Crowe at some point becomes real. Actually, Denzel Washington's character is a convict, and Russell Crowe is a virtual reality machine used to train, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Russell Crowe somehow becomes real, and the hilarities ensue. Then flash forward. Oh, this is tough because he has so many good ones. Mm. You know what? And this may be a cop out. I may say this one. Because as many acting clinics as he has put on in my lifetime, like, I enjoyed how layered this character was and how he conveyed that so well. I'm gonna go with this one. Fences.
Wow. Yeah. Fences was good. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Mine is Training Day.
Okay.
I love me. Because more so, if I get two actors for the price of one, I get Denzel and I get Ethan Hawke.
Yep.
And I am a huge Ethan Hawke fan. I love me some Ethan Hawke. Great Expectations. Anybody who hasn't seen it, love it. But yeah, he was good in Fences, but there's something about him evil, like flat pure out, yeah. Not, you know, there's layers to him. Maybe he's good, maybe he's bad, maybe he's going to get into the gates of heaven, maybe not. Like Training Day, he's bad, and I just love him as bad. I think he plays bad perfectly. I don't, like, want to be him as bad, but if I were bad, I'd be Denzel Washington's bad.
From Training Day?
from Training Day.
Yeah. I can see that. I like that movie a lot. That's why I chose it for the quote to start with in this episode. Awesome. I like it. That brings us to suggestions. Okay. Want me to go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
My suggestion is an oldie but a goodie. Cruel Intentions. I'm sure you've seen that one. Yeah. I can't say enough. Virtuosity. Sorry, I was looking that up this whole time. It's the Denzel Washington Russell Crowe movie that I was referring to. Uh-huh. But yeah, Cruel Intentions. It's fun, kind of. Not fun. It's actually pretty cutthroat.
Some kissing in there, that's fun.
There is. And I don't have this pulled up at all, and I'm not going to sit here and look for it, but I suggest you check out Cruel Intentions. And it's odd, too, because one of the main things that stick out in that movie for me is Bittersweet Symphony playing at the end. Huh? Like, I don't know why, but I love that song because of that movie. But it's still a good movie. Check out Cruel Intentions.
I'm going to go off on a tangent from my normal recommendation. And I'm going to pick one called The Sessions. Have you seen The Sessions?
I have not.
This is... How do I put this? It's hard to watch, yet at the same time, super rewarding. You basically watch a guy who's like, I don't know if he's like paralyzed, like sort of kind of, and there's like a woman who comes into his life who is going to show him the joys of physical.
Wait, is this Helen Hunt?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have seen this.
Yeah. This is a great movie.
This is something like I did not expect to like this movie as much as I did.
Is it Adrian Brody? Who's the guy? He's in Deadwood.
I just remember thinking, like, this is going to be weird. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it, and it wasn't weird at all. You know what I mean? Like, you expect something out of your norm, your normal reality. You're going to be like, this is going to be strange. I'm not going to understand this. I'm not going to be able to relate to this. Yet I was completely able to relate to this. I was completely able to understand what was going on. And I just thought it was great. I thought, if you haven't seen it yet, it's worth a try. I would say make sure there aren't any kids in the room. Because there's a lot of nudity.
Yeah, the hot money shot that you've been waiting for.
There's a lot of hot, yeah, she's naked, and everybody's naked. But it's not in a weird sort of way. It's not like naked, like, ooh, she's naked.
Yeah.
It's naked and like, oh, she's naked. That's,
yeah, awkward.
Go get them, I guess. Like, yeah, it's weird, but it's a super rewarding movie. I highly recommend it. If you haven't seen it, check out The Sessions.
Awesome. I recommend that one as well. It's I was kind of weirded out when I watched it, but mm-hmm. it's still a good one. And that brings us to the bad guy movie challenge
thing. I feel like this one's going to be similar to the last one. Because if you look at the Terminator
versus Anton from No Country for Old Men,
yeah.
Well, the last one, the aliens lost.
Right.
This one, I have some points on this
okay,
one.
Okay, go
and
get
I
them.
Think the Terminators stand a chance.
Okay.
Now, my main point is Skynet has won. The Terminators are just to assure that they win. Judgment Day has happened. Terminators go back and try and kill John Connor. And as we find out in the lesser movies, Skynet, well, I guess in Genesis things changed a bit, but Genesis also broke its own rule because after they fix everything, they still have a Terminator. So Skynet still wins but ceases to exist if they did not. So, and these Terminators are just, they're not these mindless robots. They can take on just about any appearance, some of them. The T-800, which I think Arnold is this killing machine, muscle-bound killing machine that is relentless and will not stop, unless it gets in lava, but will not stop until it has its man or woman, or it's reprogrammed to protect you.
I'm going to point out things that you just said.
Go ahead.
Skynet mm-hmm. was the actual villain. The mastermind,
yeah.
Not the Terminator. Terminator was just the tool. So that's why I'm going to argue the Terminator doesn't win because you Terminator is just a tool. Skynet
that does not have a plan.
That is the actual
Skynet.
Not to say that the Terminator can't learn.
Yeah, you're right,
and,
though.
It can't evolve because it can, but at the point in time where you say this is the main villain.
You got me.
He isn't. He isn't the main villain. He's just the tool being used by a bigger program.
He is just like the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tool
yeah.
that is sent back to do one task.
Mm-hmm.
And fails at it most of the
but,
time.
But yeah, he does fail at it. But he is capable of learning. I will give him that. He is capable of learning and improving.
Okay, so if I threw out... then this is Arnold's Terminator that stays with John Connor the whole mm-hmm. time. Does that change?
Yeah.
He succeeds in his plan of protecting.
Right.
So much so that he ages.
He's better as a hero
yeah.
than he is as a villain.
You're right.
Which is weird.
Oh my God.
He's better as a hero than he is as a villain.
Oh my God.
Now, Anton is just bad. He's not good. He's just bad. All he does is bad things. He even sits there, talks to somebody's wife, like, yeah, by the way, I'm going to do some horrible things. Do you? Don't take it personally because I'm bad and you're the recipient of that badness, but hey, this is what you're going to get.
And he was one of the most original villains to come out of that. I hadn't seen anything like this dude drags around a.
He's almost, I don't want to say Hannibal Lecter status. He's pretty darn close.
If he would eat people,
to
yeah.
being original.
Yeah.
And just that BA. He is Hannibal Lecter status.
Gosh dang it. I did not think that. I was going off my love, once again, my love for what they do
mm-hmm.
and not. I broke my own rule again. Second week in a row, Terminators and Aliens. Which, oh gosh, dang it. Well, I must do the C word. Second read in a row. In a row, I must concede. Okay. Terminators are out because they are, as Robert pointed out, and I agree, this one task drone that can learn, but they aren't the masterminds. If I would have said Skynet, different story, but I did not. I said Terminator. Hats off to you, sir. Hats off to you. Ah, well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of episode 14. Hope you enjoyed it. But you can find us, ladies and gentlemen, on a few places. iTunes for one. Please go to iTunes, search Go Watch a Movie, click that subscribe button, leave a review. Podomatic.com/ Go Watch a Movie. Find us on there. That's our main page. GoWatchAMovie.com. Go to Twitter at Watch a Movie or just search Go Watch a Movie. We should pop up. Facebook, Go Watch a Movie. And shoot us those movie requests or suggestions, and we'll watch them. We'll do an episode on them, and shout you out for that. Thanks once again for tuning in. I'm Kelvin.
I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.